we do thank you, and we pray for that, that you would even now set up a fire. Lord, we're smoldering here.
Yes.
So we need the fuel of the Holy Spirit. Father, we need the wind to blow across these coals of our lives, Father, to make us burn for you. Lord, I want to burn hot. I don't want to just smolder away. I pray, Father, that you would put in us a stronger desire to be obedient to you. That you would put us a stronger desire to fervently seek after your righteousness. That you would speak to us through your word today. Father, as I come even now, about ready to get into the message that you gave about these times, Lord, that we're living in, I ask that you would anoint me. Father, I need your words in my mind. I need you to control my mouth.
Yes.
Father, I need the Holy Spirit to indwell in me, and I need you, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to your people.
Yes.
Lord, that it would not be my words ever heard, Father, but it would be your glory proclaimed in this day. Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. What you doing with what God gave you? Amen. Have you ever heard that? What you doing with what your daddy gave you, I guess, really. What are you doing with what God has allowed you to have?
Amen.
I'm not just talking about the exterior physical things, but the spiritual stuff.
Right.
What are you doing with what God gave you? You know, we've been talking about the parables of the kingdom of heaven, and this is another one about talents. Mm-hmm. All right, now Jesus talked about a weight or a piece of money, but it can also be brought into the real wealth. Amen? Because God really doesn't care about all the gold in this world. He really doesn't. But what he has already given you, the body of Christ, the person of God, he expects a return out of that.
Amen.
Jesus said, and we're in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And as you get there, I'll say this, that Jesus again is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is as. All right, so this is another metaphor, as it were, that God is trying to tell us about what it takes to get to the kingdom. That there is a very real kingdom and there is a very real road that gets you there.
Amen.
We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through him. Amen. We understand that.
Amen.
But now that you have accepted him, now that he has called you, now that you're his servant, that's just the beginning of the job. Amen. That's where you start at. You don't want to finish there. Right? You want that's where you begin. God calls you, and he calls you out of the darkness and into his light, but he wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to proclaim. He wants you to take the things that God has given you in such a way that you give them out.
Amen.
You're not supposed to take the salvation and stick it in the ground like a man does here. You're supposed to do something with it. And as Jesus talks, and he's telling us about this parable that we'll get into, this metaphor about our great salvation. God granted us this salvation, right? You didn't earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you could do to earn it. No. He gave it to you. He called you. He handed you something. He sealed you with someone, right? And he's expecting some return out of that. God granted you salvation through Jesus Christ. He called you to be a servant. And then he went back to the Father. Amen? Jesus, he said, I go where I go. You can't follow me now, but you will follow me eventually. Again, John chapter 14, as he's talking about these things. He says, but when I go to the Father, I'm going to ask, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you the Comforter. And that Comforter is going to have us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, us, to make our dwelling place in you.
Amen.
All right? He is in you. He's given you something. That Comforter, that third part of the Trinity, or as much God as any other part of the Trinity. All right? And he gave us that indwelling power in order that we would fulfill the servanthood that he's called us to.
Amen.
Right? We're called to do something, and he's given you that. And as that, he and Praise God that He just doesn't call you and tells you to go do something. He equips you. Amen. And taking that equipping of the Holy Ghost, what you do with that really portrays what you believe about the one who gave it to you.
That's right.
Right? Because it's not enough just to say, I believe, without doing something with that belief. It's not to say, I follow, without actually following. It's not to call Him Lord if you're not desiring to be a servant.
Amen.
He says He gives us the Comforter and to fulfill the call of Christ on this church to seek and save the lost. All right? And He equips us with gifts. And He lets that drive us into this next teaching. I said all that to say this. And we're in Matthew chapter 25. Has everybody got there? Is it all right? We're going to start reading in verse 14 and go through verse 30. And then we'll back up and talk about it. Jesus speaking here, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants," catch this, "he called his own servants," all right, "and delivered unto them his goods." That's really important there, because we're gonna balance everything that God says right there.
Amen.
In this mix, because can't start preaching yet. I got to get through the thing, and then we'll back up to it. All right. So, verse 15, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several," that means personal, "everyone according to his several ability," everyone according to his personal ability. God knows what you're able to do.
Amen.
All right? All right, so that's it. "And straight away he took his journey. Then he that had 5 talents, he went and he traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained 2 other. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time," that's important too. How much time?
Long
time. It ain't over. It ain't over. We're in that long time. I don't know what you got from God, but it ain't over yet. So today could make a difference in the rest of your life.
Yes.
Today might make a difference in your eternity. And so as Jesus keeps talking, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them." All right? There's a reckoning coming. There's a day that God's going to come and balance the books. Woohoo! Man, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Some of you ought to be scared. All right? And so he who had received the 5 talents came, and he brought the other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained besides these 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want to be there. I don't care how much God has given you. I want on the day that God comes for reckoning, you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what the kingdom of heaven is about. There's one of the servants that kind of did his own thing. And we're going to look at him a little bit. Verse 24, "Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee to be that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and lazy, slothful, worthless piece of servant." I added some adjectives there just for fun. All right. "Thou slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I sowed not, and where I had not strown. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money Whose money?
His
money. The, my money and the exchangers. And then at my coming, thou I should have received mine plus usury, which means interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath it shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, and even which he hath. And cast that unprofitable servant into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Thank you for the word of God. So what we're seeing here is some things. This is a hard teaching for a lot of people. But if you're a faithful servant, you ain't got much to worry about.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not being faithful with what God has given you, then you've got something to shake at. Because there's coming a day of reckoning.
Right.
And I believe we're close to that day of reckoning. I really do. Like I said before the sermon started, before we started talking about this, I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Right? I'm looking around at the times and the seasons that we're living in. I know that there's some prophecies that Jesus talked about that we wouldn't see. That the generation that saw the coming of Israel to be a state, that generation would not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. How many of these things?
All
these things. Remember last week we talked about the 10 virgins. They all had lamps. Some took oil, some did not. But they all had an equal opportunity to be obedient and be prepared for the coming of the day. Right? You have an ability to be prepared for the coming of the day. You should have last week went and filled your oil up. All right? Because that's what the unwise virgins didn't do. They didn't go. And when the Lord came, it was too late to go fill it up. That time had already passed. They couldn't go and get any more because by the time they went and figured it out and they came back, the door was shut. And those ones who were invited, the bride's maids of honor, I guess you would call them, the ones who were called to be, that had their lamps but they had no oil, they had their vessels but they had no light. They had the container, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, it's going to be quick.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And when He shuts the door, nobody gets in. So last week, at the end of the sermon or at the end of the teaching, I said, you need to be prepared to go get oil this week. All right? Because this week we're talking about what God has given you and what you're supposed to do with it. Now, there are things much more valuable than money to God.
Amen.
You know, He really does not care about your bank account. Or Jesus here is talking in a very real scenario to a very real people that would understand what a talent is. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I want to let you know that God didn't make you rich physically. God did not give me a ton of cash when I got saved. All right? Praise God. But He gave me something much more valuable.
Amen.
Than cash. Much more valuable. He gave me His Word. He gave me His Holy Spirit. And with that, I'm supposed to do something. Amen? Tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, that there are diversities of gifts. Amen? There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, catch what he says. There's a lot of different works. There's a lot of different abilities that God gives you, but He only gave you those abilities to help the next person.
Amen.
He didn't give you those abilities to stick it in your pocket and say, ooh, look what I got. I'm born again. You're going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Woo-hoo for me. Yucky for you. No. That's not why you have the Holy Ghost. That's not what He had. That's not why He saved you. That's not why He gave you His Spirit. It's to profit with all. Amen. Verse 8 says, for one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another a working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But it's all given by the same Spirit.
Amen.
It's all given by the Holy Spirit of God. So it does not matter what your spiritual gift is. It is given to you by the Holy Ghost and is given to you that you would profit everybody else. It ain't yours.
That's right.
It ain't yours. See, we got this wrong idea in America that I've been gifted by the Holy Ghost and it's all mine. It's me, my. No, it ain't. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You're a servant of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. It's His money that He gave to the people. It wasn't your money. And He left. When Jesus went to the Father, amen, He said, listen, I'm going to go to the Father. But I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. Praise
amen.
God for that.
Amen.
And He's going to guide you into all truth. There's certain gifts that come with being born again, and we just went over some of them from 1 Corinthians. The list is in Romans. You can find the list all over the Word of God. So it's not necessarily what gift you have, it's what you do with the gift that was given to you.
Amen.
Right? It's what you do with that gift that matters. Now, speaking of talents, that was a real thing. There are real talents, and Jesus was referring to something that the people would see, something that they would say, well, that's true work. So what is a talent? One says it's an approximate weight of 25.8 or 33 grams. That's more or less 57 pounds or 73, depends on where you go, of silver. All right, but in 415 B.C., one talent was equal to 9 years of a skilled worker. All right, you're a skilled carpenter. One talent would pay you for 9 years straight up. So if I gave you a talent, that'll pay your bills for 9 years. Praise God, that's a pretty good amount of money. How much would you like to have right now your boss give you enough money to supply all your needs for the next 9 years?
9 months.
9 months? Oh, yeah, you're right. It was months. I said years, but you're right. It's 9 months it's 9 years for skilled work. Okay, the next one is 1 month for payment of a cruise ship. Yeah, unless I wrote it down, I could have, because this is all from exterior knowledge. This ain't with the Bible, because the Bible doesn't tell you what a talent is. So anyhow, I did some research. This is what I came up. One was 9 years for a skilled worker. The other is 1 month's pay for a cruise for a three-level cruise ship, which was called a T-R-I-R-E-M-E crew. All right, so in the Greeks, they had these battleships that everybody rode because they didn't have a motor. There's three levels. There's 170 rowers on that boat. Okay, one talent would pay the wages for that crew for 1 month. Okay, so that's what a talent was. So when Jesus said, this is what a talent is, those people in that day and time would have recognize that weight, that understanding about what that was. All right, so when Jesus tells us that we are given a talent, He's saying that you're giving something of very great worth. You're given something. God, the Lord Master, called His servant, right? You didn't call Him. He came to you and He called you. You answered and said, yes, Lord, I will be your servant. You will be my Lord, my master.
Amen.
All right? Now, to understand what a master is, all right, that's somebody that you do what they tell you to. I mean, we in America, we have a real hard time with lordship and masters, right? We don't really understand what that is. But let's say, all right, you work for a company, and the company says, all right, I trust you. I'm going to go to Europe, and I'm going to leave you with $5 million, $2 million, or $1 million. I'm going to go away. I'm not going to check on you. Right? I'm going to give you this. I'm going over there. I plan on coming back. I don't really know when. I'm going to be taking care of some business over there. In fact, I'm going to be building some housing projects. All right? Because Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare you a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. So Jesus, and the same, keeping the picture straight, Jesus said, I'm going to give you some things of great worth, and I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare your place. And when that place is prepared, I'm going to come again and call those to be with me, right? In this picture of the parables here, or this picture of the talents, the same story, the same accounts are happening. It says in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country. How far is the throne room of God from earth? I would call that a far country. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll say that's pretty far out. That's way out. If the earth is the footstool of the Lord, right? That's way out there. Jesus said, I'm going to do that. He said that he's going to a far country, and he called his own servants. Whose servants did he call? His servants. He didn't call those who weren't his servants. He only called. So, and it's pretty interesting that you are saved before the foundation of the world. Right? You're saved before the. And he knows who you are before you knew who you were. And he called you personally by name. And when he called you, he delivered unto you his goods. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not yours. They're his goods.
Right?
They're his goods. Now, some people, praise God, it's two-thirds, right? Or because there's three and two of them do it, one of them don't. Two-thirds of the people take the gifts of God and they go and invest them. Right? They take that great wealth, the Holy Spirit of God, and they say, man, I know what God would do through the Word of God. Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. He said that he came to love people, to feed them, to clothe them, to meet their most dire needs, right? And those people who understand that the Master's coming back and there's going to be a reckoning, that's what they did, right? They went out, they loved people in the middle of the mess, they tended to them, they cared for their needs, they bandaged their wounds, they visited them in prison, which we'll see in the next parable that Jesus talks about, the sheep and the goats. And they did. Now, one of the servants, one of them said, yeah, I don't think so. I know what God expects out of me. And, you know, I'm kind of afraid. You know, God tells us not to be afraid.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to be moved by fear.
No.
He said that, I am afraid. He says in the one who received the one talent, he said, I know thou art a hard man. This is verse 24. Thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewn. Now, understand this. He didn't really know the true attributes of his master.
Amen.
Now, is God a hard God?
No.
No, he's no more than your boss. He just expects things out of you. He expects some stuff. If you go to work at your job, doesn't your boss expect some things out of you? You ought to show up on time. You ought to do what you're being paid for. And that's expected. That doesn't mean your boss is a hard guy. He's not a tough guy. He's not mean. He hired you. And he gave you the tools of your trade. Now that I hired you and I gave you the tools of your trade, go and do that trade. It'd be like an air conditioning or a carpet guy or something like that. And your boss gives you a truck. He gives you the tools. He gives you the education. He gives you all the things you need. And he says, there's a job work order number 347812, right? And now you've got to go to that job work order and you need to do that job. But what happens if you take all that stuff that God gave you, and you take your work order? Because your boss is a hard guy and he expects things out of you, you say, no, I'm not going to do what you told me to. What do you think your boss would do?
Get fired.
How quick? By day's end. Well, when the reckoning time came, because you might be able to fool him for a week. You don't know where your boss is. He gave you that and he went off. That's what it says. He gave you this stuff and he went off. But when he came back to balance the books, he found out that you had taken, that you had not brought back what was given to you in abundance. You ought to have at least a bunch of filled out work orders that are signed and checks, right? To give back to your boss that gave you work to be done. And Jesus, he is our master.
Amen.
Is he? Mm-hmm. All right, now, we're all nodding our head like good little bobbleheads, right? Now, ask yourself, with what God has given you, what are you really doing with it? Is it buried? Or is it producing? Have you taken the talent that God has given you? Have you taken the gift of the Holy Spirit? And have you actually taken that gift and invested it? Now think about that. There's a real thing. Who here ever messes with the stock market? Or, you know, I don't mess with the stock market, but I know there's some things about it. I entrust somebody with my wealth or with the wealth that I have, and he is supposed to invest it into something that will produce a profitable outcome, right? God has given you an investment. He has invested in you some things. And he's coming one day, and he's going to have us give a reckoning. We're going to give an account about what God has given to you.
Amen.
And that's super important, church. Now, he's talking to his servants. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to those. How does one get the Holy Ghost? What do you got in one? Come on, y'all are, huh? Salvation. Amen. You surrender to God. And God takes a contract signed in his blood. And he says, Curtis Fitz, you're mine from this point. Day of salvation. And there's coming a day I'm going to come and I'm going to check up on you. In fact, I'm not only just going to check up on you, but I'm going to send myself to live in the throne of your heart, and I'm going to guide you into all truth. And I'm going to remind you what Jesus did while he was on the earth.
Amen.
And when I come back, I'm going to check on you. Do we really believe that? Yeah, I do. I hear you, sister. I do, too. Do we really believe what we say we believe is real here? Because the one who said, who was his servant, who took the gift of God, he buried it in the earth. And then when God came back to give him an account, he said, well, Lord, here I am. Ain't I good? Right? If you break it down into the spiritual stuff right here, this one servant, he was given a gift of the Lord, and he took that gift, the Holy Ghost, instead of investing it into other people, he took it and he hid it. Yeah. Right? And then comes the day of reckoning. And all he can bring back is what God gave him. All he can offer back to the Lord is what God had given him, his own spirit. All right, God, here I am. There's the Holy Spirit. I've been sealed until the day of redemption. Day of redemption's here. Guess what you get? Same thing you gave me. But I am not going to bring one other soul with me. I'm not going to give. I don't have one spot of love for somebody else the whole time I was saved. The whole time you left me here and entrusted me to do the work of a Christian. And I didn't do any of it. What you doing? What you doing with what God gave you? The Lord said to that wicked servant, thou slothful servant, lazy. You lazy Christian. Yeah, you went to church every Sunday. But you only went to church to profit yourself. You didn't go to church to profit anybody else. Yeah, I gave you a special gift to profit the body, right? But you took that special gift, you took that thing that I gave you, and you didn't share it with nobody. You kept it. Yeah, well, I would do things on my own, right? I would go and I'd hide, and yeah, I know some spiritual truths, but I won't teach a class. I know how to go out and love my neighbor, but, you know, I'd rather do anything else besides that. This is a Christian here, someone who's a servant of God. See, you can't be a servant without being born again. Then that day of reckoning happened. He said, "Thou honest, therefore," verse 27, "have put my money in the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine plus the youth plus interest." What is the least you should do? The very least you should do is forsake not the assembly of God. Amen? Amen. The very least you should do is come to church and serve in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And that's the very least. The bottom of the barrel of stuff to do. That's what we ought to do. Come and take whatever God's given you. If you're a musician, you ought to be doing music. If you're a teacher, you ought to be doing teaching. If you're a vacuum cleaner, you ought to be vacuuming. If you're a window washer, dishwasher, toilet scrubber, whatever it is, that's the very least you can do. How about a prayer? All right? Because there's some, you know, that really can't do anything. Their physical body won't let them. But how about just absolutely pray?
Amen.
I mean, some of us are older, right? You know, winter's here, it's hard to get around. You know, you're not able to go shovel snow for your neighbor, but how many hours a day do you spend on your face before God interceding? Oh, folks, there's power in prayer.
Amen.
I mean, there is power in prayer. If this guy right here with that one talent, and all he would have done is intercede for his brothers and sisters, the outcome would have been different. He took the one thing that God gave him. You can only do one thing. You got one talent. And that one talent is still enough to pay a man 9 years. All right? That one talent still is enough to pay a month's wages for 170 men. All right? That's how much that one talent, that one thing God has given you to do, that one thing, that's what its real worth on the earth is. Oh, but in heaven, it's worth eternity.
Amen.
Because this guy, this servant of the Lord, instead of investing the goods that God gave him, he hid it away. And he was cast out. That blows my mind away. Well, many folks can say, can you lose your salvation? I don't know for sure. Well, how? I don't see how that guy could have got a talent without being saved. He couldn't get the gift of God without salvation, right? And so when you're looking at this, or even the 10 virgins, the 5 unwise ones, they couldn't get the vessels without going to where the vessels were offered. But if the church really believed, had faith that Jesus is coming again, then we would be busy about the Father's work.
Amen.
The 10 virgins, they all slept and slumbered until the day that the bridegroom arrived. These 3 guys, 2 of them were actively investing what God had given to them. Faithful. In fact, Jesus calls them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Quite a contrast to the one who took it and buried it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What a contrast. It just bounces around in my heart and in my mind. And it reminds me again about this place that Jesus was talking in the Beatitudes as Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, just because we say it doesn't make it real.
That's right.
It's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's he who obeys the will of my Father. That's what he says.
Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my
Amen.
Father.
Right.
Who takes the knowledge of the Most High God to know God. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life. That ought to make your ears perk up. This is eternal life. I got to make sure I know what that is. That we know the Father and the Son whom He has sent.
Amen.
And to know Him, to intimately know God, will drive you to the obedience of God.
Amen. Right.
See, and because if we're not obedient to what God has called us to, what He's given us to, we have no security of our salvation. It's he that doeth the will of God, not the one who speaks about it.
Amen.
Not the one who just simply comes to a building and raises their hand, you know, and that kind of stuff, or the one who comes every Sunday, but they never invest what God has given to them. There are thousands of people that come to a building every Sunday, and they think they're saved, they think they're safe, and they have no relationship with the Most High God. They've never really obeyed
Amen.
The Lord. They never really invested what God has in them. And they think they're safe. These parables about the kingdom shake me to my core.
Amen. Yeah.
Because I know there's a reckoning. I know there's a day. I know Jesus talked about a gleaning between the tares and the wheat. There's coming a day that He's going to take the ones who look like Christians and burn them in fire. That's the tares and the wheat. He's going to take that, the 10 virgins, the ones who had the lamp vessel but didn't have the Holy Spirit, and He's going to cast them out. He's going to shut the door. They can't come in. He's going to take the one who's been given, granted the gift of the Holy Ghost, and he never invested that gift, never was obedient, and He's going to cast him out with His weeping and gnashing of teeth. That don't sound like a fun place to me. So what do I got to do? First, I really got to believe enough to obey.
Amen.
Right? Because it's not just enough. James said, you say that there is one God, you do well. You've done good. You said there's one God, good for you. Even the demons believe that there's one God, and they fear and tremble. Oh, church, how much trembling. Do we really stand in awe and trembling that God's coming someday? Do you think you're going to skate in by the skin of your teeth? The guy who hid his talent thought that that's what's going to happen. Oh, Lord, here's your bit that you gave me. Ain't that good enough? Jesus says it ain't good enough. He said, the least you could have done is brought it back with some interest. Now the other men that had received and they had invested, and God said, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Praise God for that.
Amen.
There is a reward for obedience that goes way beyond the cost. If we really believe that. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account us of the ministers, that means the servants of Christ. Let a man so give us an account. Notice who we are as the ministers of Christ. And stewards. Are we a steward of the mystery of God? What's a steward do? Whatever he's told. Right? Whatever he's told. Now we have the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, right? Let me ask you, do you believe you got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen. Do you? He is a real person. He's real. You can hurt the Holy Ghost. You can't hurt somebody that ain't real. You can love, the Holy Ghost can love you, and you can love him. There, you can't love something that ain't real. He is not an it. He is a he has emotions, he has feelings. He has a cause. He has a purpose. to indwell you to accomplish the high calling of God in you. Would this not be like unto blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Not obeying what the Master says to you? Not believing Him enough to obey Him? Isn't that what blasphemy is?
Amen.
Right? Because Jesus said this is the one sin that a man can't be forgiven of, right? And He's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees saw Him heal a man, right? He did what the Holy Spirit was telling Him to do, and He healed a man. And they said that you do this under the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus said, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You're speaking of something you don't know about, but you're blaspheming the you're taking the goodness of God and giving that to an ungodly thing.
Right.
You're taking the gift of God, healing the blind, right? And you're saying that the devil did this. Mm-hmm. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we don't believe in the gift enough to accomplish what the gift is given to you for. And, to me, it's like unto blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the one sin that can't be forgiven. So do you really believe that? Or do you believe that you prayed somewhere back in 1924? You know, somewhere back in your past, you prayed, "Oh Lord, save me." But I'm never going to minister. I'm never going to be a servant. I'm never really going to obey you. But I pray. And I'm saved. I'm safe. I'm secure. Because some big old belly pastor said, repeat after me. See, some of the things, you know why the man did not invest what he gave? What was given to him? There's two things that he put here in verse 24 and 25. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. We talked about that just a little bit. God's not hard.
Amen.
He's not a hard man. He just expects what he expects. Right? You're hired for a job, and he expects you to do that job. The other thing is he was afraid.
Right.
Talked about this a very little bit, and I don't have it in my notes, but is it 21:8? Or is it 28? It's 21:8 of the Revelation. All right? A fearful person. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
The fearful don't really believe.
Thank you, sister. You're right. Because if we really believe,
amen,
there would be no fear.
Amen.
Amen. If you really believe that God is for you and nothing can hurt you, nothing can harm you, you will boldly go do what the Lord has told you to.
Amen.
But if you're afraid and unbelieving, I've said this so many times, I don't know if I'm really grasping it. Maybe that's why it keeps coming to my mind. If we really believe what we say we believe is real, right? Do I really believe that Jesus is coming and I'm going to give an account?
Amen.
If I really believe that, does my life live it out?
That's it.
Right? Because if I really believed it, I would fear and I would tremble that someday I'm going to be judged by God, by the works that I have done, by what He has given me, that I'm going to be held accountable to what He gave me. What did I do with it? He saved me.
Bless him, yes.
While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He called me out of nothingness, and He clothed me with light. He gave me power. He gave me authority. He gave me His signet ring that I could do the things that I was called to do.
Amen.
But if you never do those, did you ever believe? I think that's what happened to this one. Jesus told another parable about the seeds and the soil, right? Matthew 13. And in that, in the seeds and the soil, some of the seeds were sown on rocky places and it had no root. And when it sprung up, it withered away. Jesus said, that's the ones who hear the word of God, they accept it with gladness right to begin with, but they have no root within themselves, and when hard times come, they die out. There's another seed group that falls amongst the thorns by the wayside, right? And they spring up, but the thorns choke them down. That's the one who's a Christian who believes, and they immediately they grow, they start doing things, but because of the world system,
right,
they take their eyes off of Jesus, they take their eyes off the truth, and they're choked. Do we believe that God is a better gardener than us? Amen. God knows the hard stones in my life that need to be moved out that my roots can grow. But I've got to give that to Him. I've got to sacrifice that to Him. I've got to do it.
Amen.
God knows that I'm surrounded by this world, but I've got to have faith that's stronger than the weeds that are around me.
That's right.
I've got to believe that there's going to be a gleaning someday.
Yeah.
That God's going to come and we're going to give an account. That I'm going to stand before Him. And if I'm living in fear today, I have no guarantee of my salvation tomorrow.
That's right.
Because I'm of an unbelieving spirit. Mm-hmm. See, what he knew about the Lord was wrong. God isn't a hard God, He's a just God. He's just. And He's the justifier of those who truly believe in Him. Amen. Thank God. And because He is just, and because He holds to a rule, as long as I am in Him and I'm obeying Him, I have no fear.
Amen. Even on COVID-19.
Amen. Yeah. The bid can't get me. Because I'm a co-heir in Christ Jesus, right? We don't have to worry about these things of the world.
No.
We need to worry about God and what He's called us to. Jesus said, don't fear a man who's only able to take away your life. Don't fear him, but fear the one who's able to take your life away and cast your soul into hell.
Amen.
Do we fear God? The angels fear it, even they tremble. We shouldn't fear God so much that we don't obey Him.
That's right.
We ought to fear Him enough that we do obey Him.
Amen.
You know? This guy, he feared God so much that he didn't obey Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm afraid God's going to get you every bad thing that you do. God's going to get you for that. Y'all remember that song? That's going back a long time ago. And so, well, no, He's not. God's going to reward you if you're obedient to Him. If you're not obedient to Him, He's going to throw you out. It's real simple. Those people who stood before the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many great things? Have we not prophesied? Haven't we done this cool stuff for you? Jesus didn't say they didn't do that. He said, I never knew you. Right? You weren't obedient to the Father. Yeah, did you do some cool stuff? Absolutely. Did some cool stuff. But that wasn't yours to do. I called you. I gave you talents. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I allowed me to live in you. But because you were afraid of what somebody else would think, a deer caught in the headlights. They always get hit by car. Right? Deer's coming out in the road. Car, freezing. Right? Bam! They die. Don't be caught in the headlights.
Amen.
When you see the headlights coming, you need to get going. When you see the day approaching, you need to get going. When you know that we're closer to the end than we are the beginning, if you don't have a full cup of the Holy Ghost, go to where He is. If you haven't been faithful with what God has given you to do, start doing it now. Start investing today. Because I don't know when that last day is. I know that you have the ability to do whatever God has called you to all the way until the day of reckoning.
Amen.
You can do it right now. You can do it today. See, I can't promise you tomorrow. Because I don't know when He's coming. I know that Jesus left, and He said, if I go, I'm going to return, right? And I'm going to, and those who are with me, those who believe me, those who have trusted me, I'm going to bring them back with me.
Amen.
Now, I don't know where you are in any of these parables of the kingdom. Next week, we're going to be talking to Jesus. And I love the way Jesus lays these things out in 25 and in 13, because they get... There's a progression to it, right? It leads deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper each time. And it gives you a little more truth, a little more truth, and a little more truth. Because he's unveiling what it takes to be in the kingdom, to get to the kingdom.
Amen.
And it all comes back to obedience to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All of them come back to obedience to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't obey Him, you don't believe Him.
Amen.
If you don't have belief in Him, you have no faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God.
That's right.
I love you guys enough to tell you these things, right? Verse 29 of Matthew, and this is where I'm going to close. Aren't you happy? For to everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But of him that hath not shall be taken away even what he hath.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Jesus is talking about in the fullness of the parable. He's talking about faith. He's talking about the talent. He's talking about obedience. Everyone that has faith, everyone who has obedience, everyone who takes what God has given him and invests it,
mm-hmm.
you'll get more.
Amen.
All right? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he goes. That thing, that ideal of walking with God and the better he gets. But he that hath not, the one who doesn't have faith, the one who doesn't have obedience, the one who calls himself a Christian and has no work to back it up. Oh. Again, James. Thank you, Lord. Faith without works is dead. Right? Now, not that your works save you, your faith saves you. But because you're saved, you should have works.
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be an evidence of your salvation.
Amen.
There ought to be an investment that God has given you that you're putting back out there. And so if you say that you believe him, he who has it, but he doesn't invest it, is going to be taken what he has. Folks, we're coming to the end of our time. Not just because it's after 12. We are coming to the end of the dispensation of the Gentile age.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're coming to the end of the church age. We're seeing the little horn arise. We're watching these things happen right before our
Amen.
Eyes every day.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing
yeah.
wind. I'm seeing things unveiling. Right? There's things that God is doing right now, today, that have never been done before. I see the mark of the beast on the horizon. Your men are going to have to take this mark, and without this mark, you're not going to buy, sell, or trade. Right? I can see it. That lets me know that there's a time.
Amen.
That lets me know that the time is now.
Yes.
And if you ain't right with Jesus Christ, if you're just playing the game of Christianity, you might find yourself in hell someday. Playing the game doesn't mean that you're a team player.
Amen.
Right? You got to be in the game.
Yes.
fully invested because Jesus fully invested in you. Ain't got nothing else to say. Amen. I don't know how to close these sermons. I really don't. Because even in the scripture, it doesn't have a break there. Right after 29 is 30. Right? It just rolls right into the next thing. So I love you guys enough, and I love my wife enough that she's teaching the kids, take kids in the back, to give her a break. People, next week we're going to look at what Jesus says about the sheep and the goats and that judgment. Again, they're all in the same herd. Right? The sheep and the goats, they're all grazing together. They all say the same thing. This ain't bad. This ain't bad. Until the day of the gleaning, the separating. People, I don't know when that's going to happen, but when it happens, it's going to be quick.
Amen.
He's going to come in the midnight cry. And I can't promise you which side you're on.
Amen.
That's why you've got to check your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? It's not for me to check. All I got to do is bite at your feet. Right? I'm a sheepdog. I'm just doing what the shepherd told me to, and I'm nipping at your heels. I'm trying to get you to read and believe what the Word of God says.
Yeah. Pastor.
Yes, my sister.
I feel that this congregation was meant to be here. God has His hand upon each one.
I believe that, sis.
And we will learn what He wants and we will be obedient.
Amen.
Otherwise, we would not come here without a mask.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, it's time for us to unmask our faith. That's a sermon in itself. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You. I love You, Lord God. I pray for these people and anybody within the sound of the voice that heard this teaching today. I ask, Lord God, that You would just illuminate them. Help us to know, God, we want to know. If we ask for wisdom, You'll grant it. If we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, You'll grant it. God, I pray for Your people, Your church. Father, move on us. And again, set my soul afire, God. I want to be blazing when You come. I want to be fully invested.
Amen.
With what You have invested in me. Lord, I pray that for the people that are here. Oh my God, anybody else. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we love You for those things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.